says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Hastan and Neva Nijon Nego Shavothia Nijon Nego Shavothia. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, 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 hey
Southern-style powwow singing from the drum Youngbird from their Canyon Records CD, Only the Strong. That particular song was entitled Blue Thunder Chief. And Youngbird was a 2001 Grammy nominee, and their music expresses the power of today's native spirit. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's program, we share a conversation with Mr. Frank Gubasta. Frank is a friend of Yat Gitishi Native Center. He is a person who cares for the well-being of Mother Earth. Frank is very dedicated to peace and social justice. One of the very important aspects of our discussion, as you will hear, is the openness and honesty Frank has with respect to acknowledging the true history of relations between Indigenous peoples and European Americans. It is this understanding and willingness to have an open dialogue that makes friendship possible. Yat Gitishi Native Center believes that all peoples of the world, all cultures, need to have equal respect for each other. Appreciation of cultural diversity and an end to racism is one of the most important needs in the world. If there is to be true peace in the world, there must be genuine respect for each other's worldviews, so long as each of our cultural lifeways do not hurt Mother Earth or each other. Yat Gitishi Native Center's work is dedicated to instilling a reverence for Mother Earth in all life. Often I term this philosophy Earth Ethics. It is based on the principle of the seventh generation, a belief by the world's indigenous peoples to always consider how one's actions will impact seven generations into the future. When one follows this native law, there is a spiritual connection with life and the great mystery. There is a harmony and a sense of caring for Mother Earth and all the relations, Kenan Wantakwasin, the animals and plants, fish and marine life, insect and winged ones, the plant and tree nations, the land upon which we live. This concept is often referred to by Native people as walking the red road. This cultural lifeway, spirit connection to Mother Earth, is what the world's indigenous peoples have been trying to teach to those white Europeans who first came to our tribal homelands. Even after more than 512 years of genocide and colonialization, we indigenous people still try to share this cultural, spiritual, earth ethic with the white man. We do so because we know that the white man's so-called society is killing our Mother Earth. It is a cancer that is poisoning all life. War, greed, violence, religious intolerance, racism, sexism, human rights abuses, social and economic injustice, and the rape and destruction of the environment are all manifestations of this psychotic behavior. It is time we humans live together in a way that honors the earth and each other. I'm very proud and pleased to welcome today's guest, Mr. Frank Gubasta. And before I ask you, Frank, to introduce yourself and share your comments, let me begin with this song entitled Stand Up, This Land Is Your Land, from a CD gifted to me by the singer-songwriter Trina Willard. Aho, Kenan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
In a democracy, we have responsibility. When we disagree, we must stand up. When our government on waging war is bent, we must voice our dissent. We must stand up.
And I will stand up for freedom. I will stand up for justice. I will stand up to say not in my name. And I will stand up for peace. I will stand up for democracy. I will stand up to say not in my name.
Greetings, my name is Frank Abasta. I live in the what is now called Southwest Florida area. Recently I've been awakened to some of the injustices that are going on in the world that I've never realized even existed, because the media and like history books and things like that don't talk about these things. So I'm very active in social justice issues, anti-war issues. One of my particular concerns has come to the forefront of my activism is indigenous rights, especially here in what is now called North America. And I met Oness at a Earth Charter Summit, and we've become pretty much fast friends in the last year or so. And I'm really honored to be interviewed by him today, and thank you very much for having me here today, Oness.
Yesterday, as a matter of fact, you were participating in what in English would be called a protest in front of a toy store during the so-called Christmas holiday time, which I think is very important. And if I understand what the protest was about, it was trying to educate the American public, the people going in to buy toys for their children, not to purchase war toys, guns and war games. And I think that's an appropriate and important subject to continue our conversation with. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, yesterday we were protesting in front of a Toys R Us store in Naples. The idea of the protest is to try and educate people that war toys are really sick toys. We should be teaching our children about peace instead of war. And some of the toys that you can see wall to wall in these toy stores, especially appalling, this is supposed to be a celebration of the Prince of Peace, and people are buying their children these guns and all kinds of horrible things. I mean, the picture on this placard that I was holding up had a picture of a bombed-out home with a soldier guarding it, you know, but one of the things that was missing in this bombed-out home for children to play with is, you know, the blood and the dead bodies. So what is happening in our world is that war is being sanitized, and children are taught that war is okay, so you can play with these weapons and these instruments of violence, but it really is just another form of militarism. Things like air shows that have so-called fighter planes and things like that. And I'm very strongly opposed to militarism, because it is a form of indoctrination. They try to reach our children saying that, you know, war is okay, so when you get 18 you can join the so-called service. But why aren't we teaching our children about peace and nonviolence? Why do we have to teach them about war? You know, let's have a future for our children instead of endless wars. And that's why we were out there protesting yesterday. People don't realize that this is a way of sliding militarism into our children's hearts and minds to make them think that war and violence are the answer to the conflict in our world today, which I believe is truly wrong and a bit insane and kind of sick.
Frank, my next question focuses on a topic of great concern to Yat Kiddushi Native Center and many indigenous peoples throughout the world, the history and legacy of colonialism, and why it seems that many white people, Euro-Americans in particular, are unwilling to face up to it. We all are now living in the new millennium. It should be a time when peace and justice is the foundation of good relations between peoples of the world. Sadly, racism and discrimination is still a strong behavior of white people towards people of color, such as those of us who are called North American Indians. I am not talking about blame or guilt. I am talking about the need for both Native and non-Native peoples to honestly dialogue with each other about the history of conquest. Colonization and manifest destiny is still a virulent disease in the world. The modern version of this mentality is globalization. White America, which I include both the United States and Canada, need to publicly acknowledge the true history of invasion and domination of indigenous nations across the continent we call Turtle Island, now called North America. Like the process of decolonization in Africa and the ending of apartheid in South Africa, there must be a process of truth and reconciliation between Euro-Americans and indigenous peoples of the Americas. There must be an official public apology to indigenous peoples by the governments of Washington and Ottawa. Many traditional indigenous peoples like us at Yat Kiddushi Native Center are also very much troubled by the history of abuse by so-called Christians under the authority of the Vatican. The Church promoted subjugation of non-white cultures throughout the world in the name of God's will. In 1992, Radio for Peace International hosted an intertribal international conference in Powwow entitled Peace in the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. Betty and I of Yat Kiddushi were very honored to attend that historic gathering that brought together many Native elders, spiritual leaders, and wisdom keepers from around the world. One of the speakers was my Shawnee friend, Steve Newcomb. He presented a briefing about the Vatican's historic role in colonization. One important aspect he spoke on was the infamous papal decree known as the Inter Cetera Papal Bull. Steve is director of the Indigenous Law Institute, which since 1992 had been working to publicize the truth about the history of the Inter Cetera Papal Bull delivered by Pope Alexander VI on May 4th, 1493. Let me just briefly read part of an essay by Steve about this church document. Steve Newcomb writes, and I quote, "This document, issued shortly after Columbus's first voyage to the Caribbean, expressed the Pope's earnest desire that barbarous nations be subjugated and brought to the faith itself for the spread of the Christian empire. Earlier, such crusading Vatican bulls called for perpetual slavery of Africans by capturing vanished queen and subduing them and by taking away all their possessions and property. In the year of the Columbus Quincentennial, we began a campaign to point out to the world community that these papal documents were instrumental in the injustices committed against the peoples of the Americas, Oceania, Africa, and Asia. Such papal bulls directly sanctioned colonization, the slave trade, and bloody campaigns that resulted in the deaths of millions. Scholars have correctly identified the Inter Cetera Bull as the historic cornerstone of colonialism worldwide. It is not well known that the Inter Cetera Bull directly influenced the development of United States Indian law. Justice Joseph Story revealed that the U.S. Supreme Court included in the 1823 ruling, Johnson versus McIntosh, the doctrine of subjugation found in the Inter Cetera Bull. To this day, the Johnson ruling, with its distinction between, quote, Christian people, unquote, and, quote, natives who were heathens, unquote, remains an active precedent in the United States in violation, we contend, of our human rights as American Indian nations and peoples, unquote. And that was part of an essay by my scholar-activist friend, Steve Newcomb, director of the Indigenous Law Institute. I would like to hear your thoughts on this, Frank, and I appreciate your honesty and sincerity.
Well, it's quite possible. I believe that because of the denial of most, say, Euro-Americans or people that came here, settlers, if you will, they're in denial of the fact that we live on occupied lands. We took lands away from indigenous people, and it's something we don't want to talk about. It's something that's being put in the background, and we're taught to forget about and you know, just not even think about it. It's like all of the indigenous people of what is known as Turtle Island or now North America, it's like they're gone, and they're not gone. And as long as we continue to live in denial of the fact that we live in occupied territory, and it's okay to, you know, override or forget about indigenous people here at home, then we're going to continue to give our government the green light to basically kill indigenous people in other lands and just occupy their lands and take their natural resources, which is wrong. I think once the white or European Americans realize or come to the conclusion that we need to make reparations and that what we did was what was done was wrong by our ancestors, when we realize this, then we're probably going to say, hey, wait a minute. Now, no more Vietnams, no more Iraqs. This is not our lands. We don't have the right to go in there with and use by using force and taking over their countries. I think that would help the world immensely. So we need to get past this denial stage and really do something about what's going wrong in our world today.
So full of lies, when no word is spoken of why the Indian dies and dies and dies, or that the Chicana loves the California land. Do our books all say it was discovered by one white man? Well, that's just a lie, one of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Oh, why are the weapons of the war so young? And why are there only rich ones around when it's done? Why are so many of the soldiers black or brown? Do we think it's because they're good at cutting other people down? No, well, that's just a lie, one of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Nazi forces grow again. Ignorance gives them a place. The Klan is teaching children to hate the human race. Where once there was a playground, now an MX missile plant. Do they think it's fun and games to see just how much we can stand? People die around the world from starvation and grief all the time. Some folks try to avoid the truth by saying God and gun will provide. In Rome, in Cape Town, in Beirut, San Salvador, Greensboro, Belfast, Manila, and many more. desire.